Killradio.org, that's another pirate organization, isn't it?
No, it's an internet radio station.
Killradio.org, that's another pirate organization, isn't it?
No, it's an internet radio station.
Where do we begin to struggle against the compartmentalization of our lives? The answer is everywhere at once. This is the Thursday Impressionistic News Hour for Cinco de Mayo, for the 5th of May, 2005. I'm your faithless host, Bennett, and tonight, to hear is to see. Tonight we're going to examine government misinformation, changing the rules for one's own sake, King Lear, Charles Manson, listening to Charles Manson. We are going to, I've got something about the election news from England, and the weekly news in review, a full hour. After the last 2 weeks, the stream was down, and I wasn't here, and it was so frustrating because I've had all this wonderful stuff to tell you about. So press your ears right up against your speakers, relax, smoke them, if you got them. And get ready for the impressionistic news here on Kill Radio.
So what in the world did you do to Linda?
Well, in 83, she did a cattle mutilation story, I think, in the late 70s with a Denver station. She used to work for a Denver station, and she went on her own. Linda was going to air she was working on a UFO special, and for some reason the government didn't want her to air that. And so... Mm-hmm. We worked an operation against her. Unfortunately, it wasn't a very successful operation because, although the television special was never aired, it somewhat backfired on us.
Tell me about the operation.
Well, Linda was invited to Kirtland Air Force Base, and I was the primary agent. There were two other agents involved in it, not just me, but there's two other.
Yes.
And we invited her to Kirtland. We showed her some information pertaining to UFOs, showed her a document, and tried to bring her in and hook her on a hook, and she took it initially. And then we carried on a contact with her over a period of time, meeting her at different locations and providing with some information.
You were doing this on official orders?
No, yeah, official orders, yes, absolutely.
All right. Linda was indeed, I guess, about to do a special on cattle mutilation. She's been concentrating on that for years. So what was it exactly you tried to sell her?
We tried to sell her that the promise that we were going to assist her and with information, that we were going to actually provide her with some legitimate information for her special. And so, but what we were doing was delaying it. Now, we also had an operation, the government, not just me. I didn't have anything to do this other operation where with another entity on the East Coast with one of the broadcasting companies. And they were doing something different there, which I'm not really privy to what they were doing there. But I was
that
just,
with HBO, Rick?
I believe it was HBO, yes.
Because HBO was the one that was sponsoring the special. Linda kept telling them she was going to get some film from you, and like you said, stringing them along.
Oh, God, I remember that. Linda told me about that.
And HBO scrapped the special because she never got the film they thought was going to be part of, you know, the crowning achievement of the documentary.
And that was... That was somebody you knew, Richard?
Somebody I knew as far as...
Feeding her that information.
I was doing it.
You were personally doing it.
Wasn't just me. There were three other people involved in it, three other...
And the motivation, again, for the government ordering you to do this was to delay the airing of the special.
Yes.
All right. There's no way we can not know you're not feeding us disinformation now.
Well, this is I'm not. I'm out of the business. I've been out of the business for a long time. I have no reason to be disinforming you now. Linda is aware of this. I mean, I have had a number of contacts with Linda Howell over the years, and she's aware of this. But what we were also trying to do. She was involved with some other things, some other research pertaining to UFO, and we were trying to feed her information to lead her astray.
Well, Richard, you must know a lot more about this. In other words, if you're trying to get Linda to delay release of a special about animal mutilations, maybe you can tell me something about animal mutilations. Or did your job not include the need to know that?
My job did not have anything to do with, I didn't have the specific knowledge at that time to understand what the government was doing with cattle.
Do you now?
Yes, I do. We might want to leave that for another day.
Why?
Well, it's really a complicated...
Well, I would like to know what if it's so. You're telling me it is the government mutilating and abducting these cattle.
Only there was a small operation, and I learned this later. I had no official knowledge of this during the time. I didn't have a clearance for it then. I learned this later. I learned this after I got out of OSI. In fact, I was a civilian when I learned this, and I learned this in a room with six or seven other intelligence officers who were also retired and telling stories.
All right, well, tell me a story. What was our government doing with these cows?
Our government was collecting certain things from these cattle. Now, it wasn't just cattle. Actually, it was horses and elk and deer and things.
That's fine.
And they were using it to create a biological agent prevention system.
Hmm.
And they were injecting these cows, and then they would come back and take certain organs from these cows. And they developed a unique method of doing it by draining the blood first and then taking certain organs from...
All right, maybe you can explain the part of this that I've never been able to grasp, Richard, and that is, why would the government need to do this to farmers' cows when they could easily get their own cows?
That's why it's a complicated system. It's, again, it stemmed around wanting... The government was doing this, but they wanted everybody to think it was something else, some other entity doing it.
They wanted people to think it was aliens.
Aliens, yeah. Now, I said, I didn't know that at the time. I learned this later. I had nothing to do with that operation, so I had no firsthand knowledge then of that.
You now believe, though, that the reports of cattle mutilations and all the rest of it are indeed true, but are indeed done by our government?
Well, no. initially, yes, because... This operation, the government operation, ceased in 1982. It was from, I think, 70-something, 77, 78, until 80.
But you're not in the government now.
No, I'm
so
not
you,
in the...
You can't really know what they're doing.
Well, no, I don't, really. But I know that the government operation ceased in 82. Now, if there were cattle mutilations after that, according to my sources who were involved in that operation then, it wasn't the government doing it. So we don't know who was doing it after that.
I also have received allegations on the computer that where I get messages here, my FastBlast, that you fed Stanton Friedman disinformation. Is that true?
No. No, I never had anything to do with Stan Friedman.
Did anybody
Friedman,
in your department, did you hear anything about it?
Pardon?
Did you hear anything about disinformation being fed to him, perhaps by others?
No, I never heard it. Bill Moore asked me that back in 12 years ago, and I said, no, I had nothing to do with Stan Friedman. I had no operation against Stan Friedman. Paul Benowitz, Linda Howland, two other groups of people that we had an operation against, and the other two, I didn't play a big role in that in those operations. The one I played a big role in was Paul Benowitz and Linda.
Is there any doubt in your mind that our government is still doing exactly that? There's somebody doing Richard Doty's past job in today's armed services.
Oh, I'm positive somebody's doing it. It's such a great method of laying people astray or moving them astray. And today, speaking today in 2005, I'm not proud of what I did. I mean, I had a job to do, and I did my job. I mean, it's just like you served in the Air Force. I know you did, Art.
That's right.
You had a job in the Air Force. You did your job in the Air Force.
That's right.
I had a job in the Air Force. I did my job. I followed orders. Everything we did was following orders. We would...
Perhaps so, but my orders never included orders to... never to lie to people.
Were you in intelligence, Art?
No. I was a medic in the Air Force.
Okay, well, then that wouldn't have been part of your job, I guess.
Well, exactly right. That's what I'm saying. That's the difference. I followed orders, but those orders never came down intentionally.
In Iraq, at least 100 Iraqis and 11 U.S. troops were killed in a span of 4 days. More than 20 car bombs were detonated, and in one case, a suicide bomber drove a car bomb into a Kurdish funeral tent, killing at least 25 people. According to General Richard Myers, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the strength of the Iraqi militant movement has not diminished during the past year. Arab newspapers reported that Donald Rumsfeld had a secret visit with Saddam Hussein and offered to free him if Hussein called for a ceasefire in Iraq. Hussein apparently refused. This is the weekly news in review from Harpers.org and from KillRadio.org. This was posted Tuesday, May 3rd, 2005, by Paul Ford, and this concerns the previous week, folks. So this is a news from a few days ago. Doctors in Belgium treated a 15-year-old Iraqi girl for leg wounds caused by a cluster bomb, then sent the bill to the U.S. Embassy. The bodies of around 1,500 Kurds, identified by their distinctive clothing, were found in a mass grave near the Iraqi town of Samawa, and the National Assembly of Iraq approved its first democratically elected Shiite-dominated government. What did the Sunnis think? A Colorado high school student decided to test Army recruitment policies by telling a recruiter that he had dropped out of high school and was addicted to marijuana. The recruiter told the student how to get a fake diploma over the internet and instructed him to take a detoxification formula so that he could pass the Army's drug test. The Army was planning to change its rules to exempt good athletes from active duty so they can serve as professional sports and in professional sports leagues. Lindy England's lawyer said that England would plead guilty to charges against her in the Abu Ghraib case. Syria announced that it would renew diplomatic relations with Iraq. United States veterans commemorated the 30th anniversary of the fall of Saigon by laying a wreath at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C., while in Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam, veterans held a parade and costume dancers acted out the crashing of U.S. warplanes. Kenya's parliament passed a motion calling for the castration of rapists. The Bible, announced the Kenyan health minister, says that if any part of the body causes you to sin, it should be removed. In South Africa, two men were convicted of feeding a co-worker to lions. That's a convenient way. And Israeli settlers were accused of spreading rat poison over the fields of Palestinian farmers. In Bangladesh, the number of people throwing acid on women was down from previous years. And Norway sent a woman to jail for raping a man. There you go, Michael Crichton. Finally happened, huh? More than half of the people in the United States were breathing bad air. A Rhode Island man was arrested after he offered an undercover policewoman T-bone steaks in exchange for sex. And the Girl Scouts were suing people who didn't pay for their cookies. The state court of Florida blocked a 13-year-old girl from having an abortion. "Why can't I make my own decision?" the girl asked a judge. "I don't know," the judge answered. An ivory-billed woodpecker, thought extinct for over 50 years, was spotted in Arkansas. It's kind of like finding Elvis, said a representative of the Audubon Society. A flock of 50 sheep with partially human organs was grazing outside of Las Vegas. President G.W. Bush was sent to the underground bunker, just like on the TV show 24, at the White House, and Dick Cheney was escorted to a secure location after a very scary cloud turned up on government radar. Bush also gave his fourth primetime news conference and took a firm stand against North Korea. "Perhaps Kim Jong-il has got the capacity to launch a weapon," he said. "Wouldn't it be nice to be able to shoot it down?" North Korea then fired a missile into the Sea of Japan. Laura Bush told jokes at the White House Correspondents Association dinner. I wonder who wrote them for her. She accused her husband of attempting to milk a male horse and compared her mother-in-law to a mafia don. "Ha ha 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 ha. I am a desperate housewife," she said, referring also to the fact that GW was off asleep. Isn't it amazing that with all the people that he's slaughtering and all the misery that he's causing, that GW sleeps well? There was an outbreak of polio in Yemen, and surveys found that at least one-third of the wives in Kurdistan had been abducted and forced to marry against their will. "I told him I didn't want to date anyone," said one woman, "so he decided to kidnap me the next day." A middle school in Boulder, Colorado banned hugging, suggesting that the students high-five instead. And a high school in Pennsylvania prohibited students from carrying any kind of bag aside from lunch bags, which will be inspected. The Clovis, New Mexico police locked down a middle school, closed off several streets, and placed officers on rooftops before discovering that what they thought was a weapon carried by a student was actually a 30-inch burrito. Egypt was planning to cut down on noise pollution in Cairo by stopping individual calls to prayer from the city's 4,000 mosques. Instead, the call to prayer will be centralized. The Austrian housewares chain, Baumax, renamed their tool shed from Mauthausen, which was the name of a Nazi concentration camp, to Linde, which means linden tree. Berkshire Hathaway, Warren Buffett's investment company, lost about $310 million by betting against the dollar. And the Museum of Foreign Debt opened in Argentina. The museum includes a doll-sized play kitchen to represent the financial recipes of the International Monetary Fund. Duh. Look, said the museum's designer, we open the freezer and the oven, and there is no food. In Managua, protesters hit the son of Nicaragua's president in the head with a rock. A mob in India lynched and beheaded two women for witchcraft. And a state representative in Alabama put forward a bill that would prohibit school libraries from purchasing books by gay authors. Are there any other? The measure died when not enough state legislators showed up to vote. Venezuela opened a new branch of its state oil company in Cuba. An Australian cemetery received permission to bury people upright and without coffins. And in Peru, authorities saved 4,000 frogs from being put into blenders and made into cocktails. Yep, that's it. Short and sweet. That's this week's weekly news in review for the Impressionistic News Hour for Thursday, the 5th of May, 2005. Thanks for listening.
Men say it's criminal what women'll do. This is 1922. Have you seen the way they kiss in the movies? Isn't it delectable? Painting lips and pencil lining your brow. Now it's quite respectable. Goodbye, good goody girl. I'm changing and how. So beat the drums, 'cause here comes Hurley Moore.
A violent silence, the silence of Cordelia. To the question of a king, a gangster, her father, her answer is nothing. He demands the essential. How is he loved, desired? From where is he loved? He has power. He is king. He wants to be wanted. Who wants him? Nothing. Not will. Not intelligence, no sex, but all the same, a body, a little bit of flesh. Because for Liaro, to hear is to see. A man may see how this world goes with no eyes. Look with thine ears. This is what he tries to do. The king who calls himself Lear, E-A-R, in listening to his daughters, he hopes to see their entire bodies stretched out across their voices.
What if they said to you tomorrow morning, Charles?
What he wants is not what he desires.
Go wherever you want to go.
What he wants is to forget this desire that he cannot stand. The nothing of Cordelia.
For how long?
So that he can silence the silence.
Right now.
He listens as if he's watching television.
How long? Wait,
Cordelia?
I could put a track record on it, or
what
I
she
could,
shows in speaking.
Put a computer on
is
it.
Not
Max, no, come on down. Get off computers, get off
but
drugs.
Her very
if you
presence.
Got out of here, there are a lot of people who think you'd go start killing people again.
Again? Mm-hmm. Well, you guys are misinformed. I haven't killed anyone.
Manson had a little scheme called Creepy Crawlers. He'd send people in to move furniture around. Is that all a figment of somebody's imagination so far, or is there any truth to that? Tell me, Charles. I don't know.
It's worse than a fairy tale.
It's a fairy tale.
It's a comedy. It's a comedy tragedy opera that was played in the early morning.
Come on, Charles.
It was sickening.
Off the space shuttle.
You know?
What?
That's what the DA gave you for reality.
Okay.
He stood in the courtroom and said, this man did this and this man did that, and you all believed him. He said, this man did that. And I said, Your Honor, may I speak? And he said, no, you can't speak. I said, all right, I got a voice. Let me talk. He said, no, sit down. Shut up.
It seriously, and as a result, what you've got is a substantial weakening of the Ethics Committee, so we are unlikely to have an independent forum in which we can see whether these are valid or not.
Well, the three changes that we made, I think, have been blown totally out of proportion in terms of their impact on the Ethics Committee. It's no more difficult to file an ethics charge than it ever was. The three changes were made. One was you should be able to have your own counsel, that the Ethics Committee shouldn't be able to decide who your counsel were. Two were you should at least know you were being investigated before the Ethics Committee publicly criticizes you, which happened to one of our members last year. And three was that it would take a majority to move forward with an investigation after, I think it's 45 days and then a virtual automatic 45-day extension. You've got 90 days where one party can decide we want to continue to investigate, but there's a reason that the Ethics Committee is divided equally. It's the only committee divided equally because the reason is it would take a member from the other party always to move forward. 15 years ago, Barney mentioned 15 years ago, that's what the rule was 15 years ago. It took somebody from the other party to decide to move forward. Only in 1997, in a package of ethics changes, really without much thought, was it decided, okay, we're gonna have this one area where a majority doesn't have to make a decision. And
the handcuff me, take me to back with my... What are you going to do? I come out and sit down, and I ain't going to get whipped again.
Didn't you stand up in that courtroom?
I felt the repercussions in the back of it.
Okay, but you say the whole thing's a fairy tale. You say the whole thing is make-believe.
Yeah, that's his helter-skelter. What's mine?
The body of Sharon Tate is make-believe.
That's make
under
millions.
No belief,
that's
be under
big belief
clown.
To the people that went in there and did what they
nobody
did.
Nobody ever has to agree that this is enough of a problem to truly move forward and do anything but continue to investigate.
I want to respond because there's a very central point there. Mr. Blunt says that's the way the rules were until 1997, because there's a pattern here. The Republicans took power in 1995 on the grounds that things were terribly corrupt and badly run, and they were going to change things. And it is true. Initially, they changed them. And again, this is very critical. What the difference is this. Should you be able, by simply holding your own party loyalists in line, to stop an ethics investigation? That's what the rule now says. The Republicans came to power, and they changed the rule. He said it was done with very little thought. I must say, Mr. Blunt, that's rather dismissive of your Republican revolution. You say that in 1997, the Republicans came to power in 95, and fairly shortly after that, they changed the rule. But this is the pattern they've had. They changed the rules because they said they were unfair. Now that they've been in power for a while, these rules are inconvenient. Mr. DeLay was rebuked three times by the committee, admonished three times by the committee. So they've changed the rules back. So let's understand what he just said, that the Republican revolution came in, changed the rules so that one party couldn't block an investigation of its own member. Mm-hmm. And when that began to bite, they changed them back again. That's the pattern, by the way, that the Republicans have engaged in on a whole lot of things. But the central point is this. I agreed with that change. It used to be, until the Republicans changed it this year, that you could not have your own party dismiss the investigation. Now you can.
Who were those people?
You know,
yeah. But you know who they were.
Sure, I know who they were.
They were with you at the Spahn Ranch.
They were part of this thing called, if not the Manson family or the Manson cult, the Manson Ranch. Call it what
you
will.
So then? What?
And Tex Watson testified in a court of law that you told him, go to the house that Terry Melcher used to live in and kill those people in a most gruesome way. A man that was once your associate said that of you, and now you sit here and say that's not true, that's all make-believe?
You got a stone wall there, won't you take it down a little bit? Look here, I'll explain something to you. Tex took the witness stand, and this is record, and he said, I don't know whether I'm Charlie Manson or my mother. Tex didn't have his own mind one way or the other. He was balanced back and forward, because I had already took his mind in another game down the road that I was playing with some Hell's Angels that you don't know nothing about, and you probably never will know nothing about it, because you would have to know those people to get in that thought, see? But there's different colors on different people's backs doing different things.
To launch investigations. Here's what 10 House Republicans, former House Republicans, had to say in a letter to the Speaker this week. And let's put this up on the screen. We saw it as an obvious action to protect Majority Leader Tom DeLay. These are former House Republicans saying that the point of these changes was to protect DeLay.
Here is the abbreviated rap sheet against Mr. DeLay. First, we have the imbroglio with the House Ethics Committee, which last year rebuked him on three occasions. Among his sins, he offered to endorse outgoing Representative Nick Smith's son in a GOP primary if Mr. Smith would vote yes on the Medicare prescription drug bill. Mr. DeLay has since changed committee rules so that it can no longer launch investigations on a party line basis and by packing the committee with loyalists. The Journal goes on. There are the junkets. In December 1997, Mr. DeLay visited the Northern Marianas Islands in the company of lobbyist pal Jack Abramoff, now under investigation by the Senate Finance Committee, who just happened to be representing the garment industry there. Mr. DeLay later led a legislative effort to extend the island's exemption from U.S. immigration and labor laws. In May 2000, Mr. DeLay and Abramoff took a $70,000 trip to the United Kingdom, including a golf outing to the St. Andrews course in Scotland, in the company of two House colleagues and some staff and spouses. Depending on which account you believe, Mr. DeLay's expenses were picked up by either an outfit called the National Center for Public Policy Research, on whose board Mr. Abramoff then sat, or by Mr. Abramoff directly, who later charged a trip to his clients, the gambling Mississippi Choctaw Nation. Under House rules, members are not allowed to have their travel expenses covered by a lobbyist. In August 2001, Mr. DeLay and several House members, including four Democrats, visited South Korea on a trip sponsored by the Korea-United States Exchange Council, which has close ties to former DeLay staff chief Ed Buckham and was registered as a foreign agent just days before the trip. House rules forbid members from traveling at their expense, but it is unclear whether Mr. DeLay or his colleagues were aware of the Korean Exchange Council status at the time of their departure. That's all according to the...
There's a different world. I love the world I live in, too, just like Reagan loves the world he lives in.
You love the world you live in?
Most assuredly, it's me.
You love all the pain that you've caused people, all the anguish.
Oh, I don't know pain. I don't know pain. I have no depth of pain. I have no depth of suffering. I don't know ridicule. I don't know all the bad things. I haven't been punished by you all my life since I was 10 years old. I've been in every reform school you got across the country and used to lay down and have to get my ass whipped till I couldn't walk. Tell me about some pain.
And that's our fault. That's all
no,
those people...
No, no fault. Make strong, good pain. Understand pain. Not bad. Pain's not bad. It's good. It teaches you things. It teaches you things. Like when you put your hand in fire, ow, you know not to do that again. Yeah. Yeah, I understand that.
But how come you didn't
learn... That's the reason I never stick my hand in fire.
Oh, but excuse me. You've got been putting your hand in the fire since you were a little boy.
I have?
Why, you just told me a couple of minutes ago that out of 47 years, you spent 34 of them behind bars. Now, that isn't keeping putting your hand in the fire.
Yeah.
I don't know what is.
What year is that?
The year is not important. What's important is you just say that you learn by pain not to experience again. Don't put your hand back in the fire.
Yeah.
Why, you've been in and out of prisons for the last, for 34 of your 47 years. Do you call that normal behavior, Charles? Is that something that you're proud of?
I never thought I was normal. Never tried to be normal. Normal runs in a little rut down there. I don't know nothing about being normal. I've been in jail all my life, man. I've lived on a handball court. This guy raised me up. All the men in the joint raised me up, told me what to do, what was right and wrong, told me when to sit down, stand up. I just did everything I was told. You know, and I got to the end of it, and I just turned around and said, wow, fuck.
All right, now that's hard.
You know, and then I went outside, and all these little kids got a hold of me and said, we ain't going to stop the Vietnam War. We want to do this. Whoa, I don't know what's happening. I've been in jail all my life, man. I never went to vocational. You ever see me in vocational training, rehabilitation? Never play no rehabilitation. I sweep the floor in the kitchen, go out and play handball. I'm still 10 years old in your world. Your world, I'm still a kid. I'm not going to grow up. I'm not going to go to college.
How old are you in your world?
Forever. Since the breakfast. I can't remember what
I don't know
that
what that means. Come on, off the space shuttle, Charles.
It's off the space shuttle.
How old are you in your world?
How old am I? I'm as old as my mother told me. How's that?
Your mother. Tell me about your mother. What'd your mother tell you?
My mother told me when she worked on death row and they took that dude into hanging and his head popped off and went down them 13 stairs and rolled over by her, it scared her. You know, so I said, wow, that sure is a far-out trip, Mom.
My mother taught me that you have to walk through life with courage, that stuff will happen, that hurdles will come in your way, to never take no for an answer.
So then when I got up on death row in cell 13 for 9 counts of murder,
I tried to teach my children
1969, and I looked at her fear, that guy's head popping off that hangman's noose, and I said to myself, my goodness, what the hell am I doing here? I didn't want to come here.
What would the play's focus of good versus evil, all the archetypes, enigmas, the mythic and metaphoric elements, its lyrical and poetic outlook? If we look at King Lear this way, we don't have to be concerned that it's not realistic.
We don't need to ask certain rational questions of the play. It's like in Cinderella. We don't ask things like, how'd Cinderella's stepsisters get to be so mean and ugly? Didn't they get enough toys at Christmas? And why did Cinderella's father marry that wicked old stepmother with her repulsive daughters?
Do I need to say lips?
I don't agree.
To say...
I love you.
I disagree.
With the word and cup, the mistake.
I need the memory.
Like twins in the family.
How can I possibly reach words with no word?
The tragedy of truth. And then, second...
Nothing will come
out. The comedy of errors. Suppose we made a mistake at the very, very beginning. And we called red green. How would we know today?
Betwixt mine eye and heart, a league is took.
And since you are interested
in memory,
and
each good turns now.
And I'll show you what it's like.
Yes, tell me, Professor.
When that mine eye is famished for a look,
show.
Or heart in love with Christ itself, don't struggle. With my love,
well, a very scary moment in Washington yesterday. You probably saw it on the news. Capitol Hill police tackled, that's what it is now. Tackled and dragged away a desperate man with two suitcases. See that guy? Stationed himself in front of the Capitol building, stood there for an hour, and demanded to get into the White House. You know, I think John Kerry's starting to lose it. You know?
Dr. Chernobyl, we are in a time now when movies, and more generally art, have been lost, do not exist, and must somehow be reinvented. Thanks to the old man and his daughter, I had some of the lines.
Unlike Gloucester, who found his limit, Lear fought until his death and never reached his. Kent and Edgar aptly describe the death of their king.
He is gone, indeed. The wonder is he hath endured so long. He but usurped his life. The weight of this sad time we must obey. Speak what we feel, not what we ought to say.
No.
The oldest hath borne the most. We that are young shall never see so much nor live so long.
That's why I tried
to
get myself invited to his
wedding. Please, Your Highness, walk.
You must bear with me. I am old and foolish.
Thou shouldst not have been old till thou hadst been wise.
Yes, tell me, Professor.
Show. Don't tell.
There's clubbing and firing at will. Marshal Field loaned his retail store delivery wagons to the police to move their riot squads. He later headed a citizens' association which bankrolled 4 Napoleon cannons and a Gatling gun for the police. Businessmen urged General Phil Sheridan, stationed in Chicago after the Civil War, to call in federal troops who were fighting the Sioux in the Dakotas.
The fear of revolution is a fear of socialism. There's a fear of the spread of anarchical ideas in the city. There's a fear that capitalism itself is fearfully vulnerable. This is in the middle of a Great Depression, and maybe the system's not quite working the way it should. New wealth has arisen, a new class of plutocrats. This is a real watershed moment in American history.
There had been a mass meeting before the violence began. The chief speaker was a typesetter at the Chicago Times, a socialist named Albert Parsons. His ancestors had arrived on the second voyage of the Mayflower. He had fought for the South in the Civil War.
After the war, he says in his autobiography, he felt so guilty about fighting to retain slavery because he had been brought up by a black woman, a slave, a black nanny, and he claims that he went to her personally and apologized. Became very active in Texas politics in the 1860s on the side of the radical Republicans, which are pushing for the 14th and 15th Amendment to the Constitution, giving blacks civil rights and the right to vote. They're fighting the Klan.
He married a woman of mixed race, a black woman, Lucy Parsons. He had to get out of Texas because of that, and he came to Chicago. And Chicago, of course, was on the very cutting edge of this industrial change and this industrial revolution. All the questions that were bubbling up inside of Parsons were also bubbling up inside the city. So he was really already beginning to question capitalism.
Parsons saluted the Grand Army of Labor and asked workers to join his party to secure state ownership of industry. If the capitalist engages in warfare against our rights, he said, then we shall resist him with all the means that God has given us. The next morning, Parsons was fired from the Chicago Times and escorted by the police to a meeting of businessmen at City Hall.
Albert Parsons was taken to City Hall and was cross-examined by the businessmen and asked who he was, what he was doing in town, his background, and things of that kind.
They questioned him, and the police chief took him aside and said, "They're going to string you up if you don't get out of town." And Parsons says, "Who's they?" And the police chief said, "The Board of Trade."
That night, Parsons went to the Tribune to discuss the strike with his typesetter friends. "I came in here as a gentleman," Parsons told the guards who grabbed him, "and I don't want to be dragged out like a dog." One of them said, "Shut up, or we'll dash you out the windows on the pavements below." Another put a pistol to my head and said, "I have a mind to blow your brains out. Now go." "I felt alone, absolutely without a friend in the world," Parsons recalled. "This was my first experience with the powers that be, and I became conscious that they were powerful to give and take one's life."
"So young, my lord, and true.
Like as the waves,
like as
make
the waves
towards the pebbled shore,
towards the pebbled shore,
so do our minutes,
so do our
hasten
minutes
to their end,
hasten
each changing
to
place
their end
with that which goes before,
each changing place with that
in
which
the sequent
goes
toil
before.
All forwards do contend.
Nativity.
Once in the main of light.
Once in the main
crawls to maturity,
of light.
Crawls to wherewith being crowned.
So do our minutes.
Crooked eclipses
being crowned
against his glory fight.
Crooked eclipses against
and time that gave.
Time
doth now his gift confound. Time doth transfix the flourish set on you. And delves the parallels
and delves
in beauty's brow. Feeds on the rarities of nature's truth. And nothing stands
enough
for his sight to mow.
They are not men of their word. They told me I was everything. It is a lie.
She's gone forever.
She's gone forever.
I know when one is dead and when one lives.
I know when one is dead.
She's dead
and
as
when
dead
one lives. She's
lend
dead
me a looking
as
glass.
Earth.
If that her breath will mist or stain the stone. Why, and she lives.
Things went wrong today. Bad news came my way. I woke up to find who I had in my mind. Knocking at my door, selling me a score. 15 cents a word to read, a telegram I didn't need. Says she doesn't care no more, think I'll throw it on the floor. Cut your cable just today, kill my groove, I've got to say. Now you've gone away, and how it's sad to say you've gone. I remember what they said, now I'm going out of my head. Tell them just had to say, you've learned your lesson all the way.
Yep, you want a message, use Western Union. Those are the five Americans from 1967, I believe. And that's the impressionistic part of the show there, with socialist rebellion in Chicago in 1870, to show that it has happened before, and violence and everything. And Lear, because I can, and Jean-Luc Godard, because it's right, and to hear is to see. Meanwhile, over in the UK, exit polls from the British election indicate that Prime Minister Tony Blair's Labour Party will form the next government for the third consecutive time. But, good news, with a majority down to 66 seats from 161. At least this is all exit poll figures. The polls closed at 10 p.m. This evening, and it's 2 p.m. here in Los Angeles. David Parker is reporting here from London. I hope he doesn't mind that I read this. He says, Labour back in with a reduced majority. No surprise, after two terms, and with a conservative opposition still fondly hoping to whip up interest in immigration controls and empty gripes about law and order, this from the party that presided over the biggest increase in crime in living memory. Sounds so familiar. The Liberal Democrats gained little from their opposition to the Iraq invasion, but at least it doesn't seem to have done them any harm. I haven't heard anything about the real story yet, the turnout. How many people were just so sickened by the whole business that they didn't bother? I ended up voting for the Lib Dems partly out of pique that two left fringe parties were standing against each other and a Green. I think it's tragic for the long term that the generally pretty wet LDs haven't had much of an anti-war bounce, the one thing that might have broken the pro-Washington warmongering consensus that's dominated politics and labor since 1945. Motherfucker. It seems there's still no votes in not killing foreigners. Our voters are traditionally as uninterested in and ignorant of their country's international conduct as their U.S. counterparts, unless there's some stupid war to fight. Don't let smug Brits tell you otherwise. A report from England, the first news on the election here on Kill Radio in Los Angeles. And with that, we'll ring out the Impressionistic News Hour for Thursday, May 5th, the Cinco de Mayo. This experiment in terror has been brought to you by killradio.org, Henry Mancini, and your faithless host, Bennett. Listen to my music show, The Chill Room, on Saturday nights at midnight. And look for my archives on radioforall.net. And when it's back up, the killradio.org website. That way you don't have to come aboard now, huh? So, Kill Radio goes on for 24/7, so there's got to be something else coming up. It's midnight or something. Kill Radio time, and I'm a recording. Yes, I never was the real thing. But then again, to hear is to see. And thanks for listening to Kill Radio. Don't forget to kill your friend.
Mm-hmm.